It's good to be here, Saints. Special day. God bless you, Brother Graham. Brother Graham's here for the first time. We said Brother Graham's across from London, working now in Lisbon, living in Belfast. So you're more than welcome, bro. Good to be with you. Also to see Sharon. God bless you. Good to see you up here. And wow, what a day. Sister Angel's in the house.
Amen.
That was a real, real blessing. We didn't expect. So good to see you, sister. You're more than welcome. Anybody else who's joined online, God bless each and every one. What you're going to have a look at this evening, if I share my screen and get back to the beginning. We wanted to have just catch up with the modern events made clear by prophecy. And we're having a look at this thought of watch Rome. Is this the last pope? I think it's just a question many people have. I've been asked it by many people. So let's open the Bible firstly to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's better a little bit there. Yeah. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read what Peter had to say about what they'd received from the Lord in their day. He says, from verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So it's a more sure word of prophecy. That's a blessing to have, and absolutely. Let's just pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. Please may you bless it unto us upon this evening, Lord. Bless this gathering. Bless your people that have gathered, Lord. Them that are online, we pray your blessing upon them as well. Father, we just desire one thing. Let your will be done this night. Guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. Quicken us, Lord. Help us to draw near to you. Draw near to us. Thank you for song worship. Thank you, Father, for time to worship you in the midst of the week, Lord. But guide us now, Father, in the bloody footprints, Lord, as we walk in the line of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated there, saints. God bless you. If I do a... I don't know if full screen mode will do it. Sorry, I'm just trying to get a better one here. Okay, so this is our thought this evening, is watch Rome. Is it okay on the screen there, bro? I'll just drag that out. Is that okay? Stop sharing first, yeah? And do it again?
If you made it full screen.
Okay. It's good to have tech support in the house always, as we said. And then we view... I did it like on read full... Read mode is good. No. Okay, so we do full screen. And then...
Command tab
to go back there. And then we want to share it again. There's our share. There we are. Okay. And that one there.
No.
Okay. So we want to share. That one there?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Okay. Thank you for that. God bless, saints. So this is our thought this evening, because it's a big question. When we see a pope coming in and we see the days that we're living in, it's a question always, is this the last pope? Because we know that in the days of the prophecy of the last pope, according to scripture, there's going to be fireworks. We know that's a very, very significant thing. And as we see the lateness of the hour, we see ourselves getting to a certain place. And it came about by the prophecy Brother Bram gave 1954. I'm sure everybody read this last week. He said, "I believe one of these glorious days when this united confederation of church goes together, and the new pope is brought out of the United States and put over there according to prophecy, then they'll form an image like unto the beast." You know, so it's quite a statement. I remember Brother Stevie's there, and he knows it very well. At Brother Billy's church, Brother Billy used to many times speak about the American Pope. You know, and I knew there's this one quote, 1954, and I never used to say very much because I thought maybe when the seals were open and that, not much was spoken. So I used to just keep a bit quiet. And then last week when I saw, wow, I was watching live, who's the new man going to take over? I said, he's from America. I said, wow, it really got me. And I got hold of Brother Paul straight away. I said, Saint, you were right. Yeah, and it's a powerful, powerful thing because we'll see. It's a significance. And the question is this the last pope? Saints, it very well could be. You know, this man who's been put in there, Leo the 14th, he's only 69 years old. He could go on for quite some time. And with the way that everything's coming together, modern events being made clear by prophecy, I wouldn't be surprised. I really, really wouldn't be surprised. But we know according to scripture, the prophet says the new pope is being brought out of the United States and put over there according to prophecy. People ask, okay, what prophecy is that? There's only one prophecy in the Bible which you can place America in the last days, and that's Revelation 13. You know, so we need to have a look at that. But to continue on, he says, and I tell you, the true church of God will be driven together. The real true believers. So you see, as persecution comes, as a squeeze comes on, as they tighten up on the independent churches, on anybody who doesn't join their system and preach their doctrine, you're going to find, he says, even out of the Methodists, the Baptists, and all of them, it's going to squeeze the genuine people out. As it gets closer and closer to the end, it becomes more and more difficult for people to stay in many of these denominations if you want to stay true to the word. Because there's such a compromise. For you to join a system like that, you've got to compromise in almost everything that you believe. Yeah, and anybody with a conscience, like in the days of Daniel and that, you say, I will not defile myself. Now you'll propose a purpose in yourself, like the Hebrew children, to say, we'll not bow down to this image. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, so we can see he always speaks about this. He says, this is one of the first messages, Angel of God, 1947. He says, I believe there'll be a time when there won't be any more division among the people of God. Amen. Such as I belong to this church, I belong to that. I believe the persecution will run all the big ransom church of God together. Amen. And we'll be one in Christ Jesus, and then he'll take her home. We won't be arguing whether this doctrine is right or that doctrine is right. And I think that's really, really true. Because whenever persecution comes, it purifies the church. I was speaking with Brother Zalesh in Czech Republic years back. He was giving his testimony of when they used to smuggle Bibles, take Bibles beyond the Iron Curtain, into Russia in those days when it was still communist. And he said the most glorious times that he ever had spiritually was behind the Iron Curtain. When they would smuggle the Bibles, meet the underground church, the church would have to meet at night. They met in the town, and in that time in the Soviet Union, there wasn't a lot of power, so all the lights would go off in the town at 10 o'clock at night and only come on in the morning, and that was the sign for the believers to meet. And then they would come from here and there, and someone would come with a candle, some would come with a torch, and they had a secret place they used to meet in this basement under this building. And Brother Zali said when he was there, he said, you'll never find pure worship like that. It's because every single person was there at the risk of their liberty. And he says, as soon as he got inside of there, straight away somebody got up and prophesied and said, brother so-and-so, you didn't speak to your wife properly at home today. You need to make it right. And that brother came running to the altar and made it right. And then the pastor got up and started to preach. And there was one brother that had backslidden, got into sin. And he actually came to the meeting, but all the doors were closing, and he was standing outside the door. And the spirit of prophecy just struck the pastor, and he said, brother so-and-so, why are you standing outside the door? Come inside, the Lord wants to speak to you. And Brother Zali said it was a glorious time because you didn't have double-mindedness, you know, when it's like that. So that's what I think he's speaking about in all those early messages about a persecution. But you'd prefer to be like Daniel. You'd prefer it be revelation that moves you rather than persecution. You know, you'd rather it be something quick in you like Noah in his day. Something quickens you to separate from the world. Something quickens you and keeps you in a channel to do the will of God. I'd say that's far more pleasing to the Lord. But we all need a bit of a kick in the rear end now and again, because this world can really lull you to sleep like Samson and Delilah. So he said that this will happen according to prophecy. So it's like I'm saying, what prophecy? Obviously, Revelation 13. It's fine, bro. Thanks, bro. No problem. Thanks, bro. According to Revelation 13, Revelation 13 is the scripture that we need to look at a little bit, because this is where it speaks of the last days, and this is where it speaks of the powers that will be dominating the last days, because a beast in the Bible is a power. And we see in Revelation 13, there's two powers. We saw it the other week, rising up, and they unite themselves together. They have the same agenda in the end, and they bring a persecution according to Revelation 13. You cannot buy or sell unless you join the system or you take on the mark of the beast. So we can see according to scripture, we know where things are going to end up. We know the end game. And that's how whenever things start taking place in the Christian world now, especially prophetic things, we start looking to see how does it fit in the big jigsaw puzzle. We start looking to see how far down the line are we? Could this be it? And it's a good thing to check up on these things on a regular basis. I think it's a good thing. So it's Revelation 13. He says it in the church age book. If you think this is shocking, wait until the prophecy of Revelation 13 is fulfilled. It is strikingly true that the United States of America is in that chapter. The very number 13 is a symbol of this nation. It started with 13 colonies. Flag had 13 stars, 13 stripes. There is her destiny in the 13th chapter. What a sad destiny. A nation that raised up from freedom of religion. People fleeing Rome, fleeing persecution in Europe, heading for freedom of religion, the Pilgrim Fathers, starting off making a covenant with God like Israel did. And where does it end up? What is its destiny? It ends up like Rome. It speaks like the dragon. It persecutes the people of God. That's a sad thing to think of where it's heading to. So we know that's got to take place down the way. If you have a look, he says the very number 13 is a symbol of this nation. I mean, there's the original American flag because it had 13 colonies. 13 stripes, 13 stars. Look on the great seal, 13 arrows, 13 leaves on the branch, 13 stars at the top. Everything is 13 in America. You know, it really is the number of America. And I don't think anybody would doubt that. And I mean, it's been prophesied and spoken of for a very, very long time. According to Bullinger, it's a very good book, Number in Scripture. He was from the 1800s. He took all the numbers in Scripture. He says, in biblical numerology, the number 13 is associated with rebellion, lawlessness, apostasy, representing a departure from the divine order, defiance against God's authority. It can be interpreted as a sign of those who reject God's ways. You go to Judah, there were 20 kings in the lineage of Judah. 7 are good, 13 were evil. So 13 always speaks of apostasy, about people who knew better than they fall away from God and they rebel against God. And that's what America is, a nation founded on the principles of Scripture, founded on the principles of freedom of religion. Where is it going to get to? Where is it going to? You can see why 13 is a very fitting number, because it speaks of apostasy. It speaks of falling away. It speaks of those who reject God's ways. Not people who don't know God's ways, but people who know them and still reject God's ways. So that's why 13 is a very, very significant number. So what is the significance of an American pope? I mean, that to me was quite a thing. I'd never considered that in my life as a very thing that you would see in your own day. It just seems so improbable, the way that things worked. But then you find, bam, exactly at an appointed time, an appointed hour, you find a pope from America. What is the significance of this? Now, obviously, we don't want to presume, you know, because we can run and jump and say a lot of things and then regret them later. And there's nothing worse than saying something as a fact when it was a theory, and you have to backtrack and say, sorry, that was a theory, not a fact. I don't think we want to do that. So we don't want to presume. To presume is to venture without authority. Now, we want to make sure we've got authority. No, that whenever you say something, this is that, you want to make sure you've got a lot to back it up. You know, that it's not just emotion. It's not just getting caught up in the excitement of the day. It's easy to do that. And that's how the prophet, when he preached the message, sirs, is this the time? Now, is this the sign of the end? He says, sirs, is this the time? Now, he was looking at events that took place, And then he saw the vision and he took it to scripture, Revelations 10. And he saw this is a fulfillment of Revelations 10. But he came and he said, sirs, is this the time? And at the beginning of that message, he says, Father, help me because I'm presuming. He says, I'm going without your authority. You know, and that's what he does. It's nothing wrong doing that as long as you tell people that. Yeah. You know, that look, we're presuming here. That's how we don't want to venture without authority. So we want to make sure we don't say this is that when we should be saying is this that. You know, there's a difference between that. So is this the last pope? We can't say. Yeah, it appears that it could be, but we need to say is this that? Yeah. We don't need to say this is that because we can get a lot of egg on our face. Yeah. I already thought Pope Francis was going to be the last one the way he was going. I mean, that guy, yeesh. If there was a guy involved in apostasy and bringing same-sex marriage into the Catholic Church and things you would never have believed and uniting everybody together, I thought it was going to be him. But he finished his course earlier than I had anticipated in my own private interpretation of things. But God's interpretation is perfect. So we'd rather go back to that. So what is the significance of a pope from America? Well, we need to have a look at the dynamics and the mechanics. We know where things are going in Revelations 13, but Satan's got to put his pieces in place to get there. Yeah, there's always a time of preparation. And so you've got to put all of your mechanics in place, and then in due season, the dynamics comes down and activates the whole thing. Now, but there's a lot of preparation behind these. That's why I put a chessboard there. Now, Satan puts his pieces in place, like in the book of Esther. Now, he puts Vashti on the throne and he puts Haman in the palace, and the Lord's putting his pieces in place. He puts Mordecai and he puts Esther, and there's people just in the right place at the right time. That's the time of preparation. And then the fire falls and everybody's in their place and everybody manifests what they're supposed to manifest. And that's what's happening here. So many things taking place around us. You see, pieces are being moved into place. The way nations are aligning with each other, even the EU, different systems like this, it's a time of preparation. I may stop here just a minute and say, I believe the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. And none of us can doubt that. When you just see, as it was in the days of Lot, we see the Sodom condition of the earth. We just see the falling away from the faith. You know, like we showed at church the other week, you just see everybody going back to Rome and all these big televangelists, you know, all of the big guys that everybody watches, so happy about the Pope. I'd like to see what they say now. I mean, they'll all be sending their congratulations and, yeah, and just treading on it, all that the Protestant Church has stood for the last 400 years. I mean, just throw it out of the window in one generation. A great falling away. That's how Paul said, we read the scripture the other day in church, in Thessalonians, says, that day cannot come, the day of the Lord, until they come a great falling away first. Then the man of sin can be revealed. But there's got to be a preparation. People have got to get into the spirit of the last days. And they are. You can see that. You know, people are really getting into the spirit of it. And I think this is just taking us a little bit further. But it's the mechanics and the dynamics. That's the thought here. Satan putting his pieces in place. There you are. That's the hour we've arrived at. In a, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? The prophet was speaking about Kennedy being the first Catholic president. Speaking of the churches coming together in the World Council of Churches. He says, that's the hour we've arrived at. That's the big machine that's being set up. Satan always sets up his big machine. Now they've got the mechanics. The only thing they have to have is Satan in there, with the dynamics to force the marking of the beast. When she is forced down, then the dynamics is working. The mechanics is there. They've already got them. So we'll see the mechanics are being put into place. And what is the Lord doing with these people? He puts you in your position. And then he comes now with his dynamics and power. You start manifesting a son or a daughter of God. The same in the kingdom of darkness. Satan's putting his pieces in place. He has an agenda. He has an end game. Now, he knows he's going to be in control for 3.5 years in the end, and he's getting all the pieces in place. That's in What Shall I Do With This Jesus Called Christ? So, the mechanics, putting things in place, the power behind the throne. Yeah, the prophet speaks of this in Jezebel religion. When Kennedy in 1960 was elected as the first Catholic president in America. We've now got the first Catholic, first Pope, American Pope, but we had the first American president was Catholic. That was very significant. You read at the beginning of your church age book, this is in the very, sorry, when he preached the church ages, he says, it never dawned upon my heart so much until this last election. Then I seen where we were at. Then the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me to warn the people and to place this. That's why he wrote the church age book, was because Kennedy had come in. And that's when he came and preached Jezebel religion. And he said, wow, we're doing the same as America, as Israel did. Israel, they came out of Egypt. They came for freedom of religion. And then what did they do? They brought the same paganism in when they allowed Jezebel to be queen. And she brought all of her pagan worship into the promised land among the people of God. And he saw the parallel, the perfect parallel between America and Israel. That America ended up, Israel ended up with an Ahab who married a Jezebel. Yeah. And then he saw, now we have an Ahab. We've got a Kennedy. And look what he says about Kennedy. He says, in fact, I'll just skip and show a little bit here. So the first thing that happens is Kennedy comes in. There was a flashing red light. So this is in the seed time, the time of the former rain, when the prophet was sowing the seed there, and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, they were sowing the seed. And we know where the harvest is going to get to. You know, so he could see it in seed time. He knew this means something. And the next thing that happened was the Pope went to Jerusalem. Remember, Pope Paul VI, the first Pope to go to the promised land. That was, I think, 1964. And then there was the eclipse of the moon. And you find it in the church age book. And he came and he preached Shalom. And he showed the lateness of the hour. And he showed God's symphony. And then he went and he showed gross darkness is upon the people. But arise and shine, for your light has come. Yeah, so he saw these things as so significant. Even the number of steps the Pope walked, because the Pope also went to America. The first time a Pope had gone to America. Yeah, so we know where it's leading to. But that was the end of his time. The prophet finished his course, went off the scene. But we know there's been so many things take place since then. The Pope now went on an official visit, I think 2003, 2004, to Israel. And they renewed ties. I remember speaking about it at the time. There's the Pope addressing people, and there's the Capitol building. That's Washington, D.C. There's now been 10 papal visits by four popes to America. Yeah. So you can really see all of these things meant something. If the prophet was here, he would say a lot. And now you end up with an American pope. You can see things moving along. Amen. Everything's being put in place. Alliances being made. People uniting themselves together. The uniting time and sign. Everything uniting itself together in this day. But who's the power behind the throne? She's sitting right here on the throne. He now speaks about Rome. He says, Kennedy was elected, but who's the power behind? He says she, the Roman Catholic Church, is sitting right here on the throne today in this country. Remember, just like Ahab did and Jezebel behind him. Because Ahab wasn't a bad guy in many ways. But the wickedness was the system behind him. She was the one who said, go and kill Naboth. Take his vineyard. Take his inheritance from him. She was the one who brought the prophets of Baal and had brought a persecution upon the prophets of the Lord until they had to worship in secret. Remember how it was in that day. And that's a type and a shadow of the end time. That was the last days of Israel. This is the last days now that we're living in. He says, Ahab wasn't no bad guy. I don't say Mr. Kennedy isn't a nice man. I don't know anything about him. That's all. He's the president. I believe you'll make a good president. It's not him. It's that system behind him. Wait till she gets wormed into the cabinet. And everywhere she can, then watch what happens. So he says, look, they've got their foot in the door now. Now watch. He said, we'll probably have another Catholic president, he says, sometime. But he says, that's not where the power is. The power is the cabinet. The power is the people in the decision-making positions. He says, wait now. You'll see how they'll get into all those positions now. You see, it's setting up the mechanics, waiting for the dynamics. But it takes time to put all of these things in place. But Satan plays the long game. Now, he knows what he's aiming at. But then there's a prophet that comes who knows the plans of the enemy that he's making in his bedchamber. And he comes and tells it. He says, look what it did in other nations. Any nation that allowed Rome in, you end up with no freedom of religion. All through history. Whenever they're in charge, you cannot worship according to the dictates of your heart. He says, look what it's done in other nations. Look what it's always done. So look what the influence that is coming up. Speaking about Revelation 13. Yeah. So we know where it's going to get to. There's going to be no freedom of religion in the end in America. America rises like a lamb, freedom of religion. He speaks of the two horns of the lamb, civil power, ecclesiastical power, the separation of church and state. That's in the American Constitution. You keep the government out of religion. The moment the government and religion come together, you're back to Babylon now. You're back to Nimrod now. Now there's forced worship. Now there's a mark. Now you've got to join the system. Now you've got to believe what they believe, otherwise you're in a lot of trouble. But we know, he says, those two horns, in the end, they come together. And America speaks like the dragon. It starts off like a lamb, and then it ends up speaking like the dragon, which is Rome. So they're going to be speaking the same thing. It's going to be the same symphony. They're going to be in harmony with one another, working towards the same agenda. In the end, it has to get to there. So we already see the birth pains of that. We already see the portents. Remember Jesus, before he went, he told the disciples the signs of the times to watch before the destruction of Jerusalem. And they came and said, what will be the sign of, you know, not one stone being left upon another? He told them. He told them, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, flee for the mountains. Woe unto them that suck. Pray that your flight not be in the winter. He told them, when you see the Romans coming and surrounding Jerusalem. So you can imagine the early church. That was in AD 70. But first Titus and them came AD 68. And then they withdrew. You know, but you can imagine now they start to hear the believers in Jerusalem. They hear that, hey, did you hear the Roman legions? They're now in Turkey. Hey, maybe we need to just tighten our things a bit. Hey, now they're in Syria. Now they're getting closer. Now they're in Samaria. Yeah? It got closer and closer and closer, but they had a sure word of prophecy. They knew exactly what to watch for. And then when now they saw these armies starting to come, the spirit of prophecy came. You read early church fathers, spirit of prophecy came, and the early church said, flee to Pella in Jordan. And the Christians, according to history, crossed the Jordan River. Not one of them was caught in Jerusalem. And then Titus and the Romans, they put a siege wall around and they shut them in. And Jesus had wept over Jerusalem and said, the day is coming. Not one stone is going to be left upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. And those false religious systems, the Pharisees and Sadducees, united with state, with Rome, against Jesus, the word, to persecute the word and the believers and the early church. And then that same Roman power came and destroyed them in AD 70. And they were shut in. You go and read Josephus. It's a horror story to hear what happened to them in Jerusalem. It's not a nice thing, but that's where things are going to end up. So Trump has the most Catholic cabinet out of all presidents. It's been getting more and more and more through all the presidents. Here's his cabinet. So these are all the people that make the decisions. Education, defense. These are his cabinet people that they meet together and make the big decisions. In Trump's cabinet, 31 Catholics and 25 Protestants. Hey, that's quite a thing to think about. When the prophet says, watch when they start worming themselves into the cabinet, taking all of these positions, education, all of these things, and then over religion one of these days, it's putting the pieces in place. Now, this is the time of putting all of the mechanics in place. 25 Protestants, 11 Jews, 12 unknowns, and 7 others, a Mormon and a Hindu, and I don't know what else he's got inside of there. But it's just every presidency gets more and more. What about the making the laws? They make the laws. What about the enforcement and interpretation of the laws? Yes. The Supreme Court now has 5 Catholics, 3 Jews, 1 Episcopal, and if you read at the bottom, it says, who was raised Catholic. There's not one Protestant on the Supreme Court. Episcopal is like Anglican. I mean, it's Catholic just with another name. So imagine the whole Supreme Court who makes the supreme decisions. The absolute of America now is dominated by the Catholics, by Catholic people. But it never used to be like that. But the prophet says, watch, it's going to come. Watch how they take over these positions. And what is it? He says they make putting in their big machine. They're setting up all of the mechanics, putting people in the right place. What's it waiting for? Is the dynamics to come down. And then people in a lot of trouble. Okay, so let's have a look at the four beasts in Daniel. Just a quick one, and then we'll take it on from there to tie it together. The four beasts in Daniel, we know there was the head of gold, which was Babylon. Then we know the silver, which was the Medes, the Persians, that was Darius and them. Then came Alexander the Great, Greece. He had the four wings because he had four generals, and when he died, his kingdom broke into four pieces. And then came the last kingdom, which is iron, which went right to the end, right down into the toes. And the toes, the feet and the toes made of iron and clay. Showing that in every nation, there'll be iron, Rome, because Rome was the last kingdom. But in the other visions that Daniel sees, if you go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, we'll find that same beast rising up with its seven heads, this ugly beast that takes over in the book, in Daniel's vision. You'll find the same beast rising up in Revelation 12. You find the same one in Revelation 13 rising up and teaming up with America. And then you find that same one is in Revelation 17, seated on seven hills, dressed in scarlet like we saw last time. So scripture is very, very clear where the enemy comes from. I just think, one guy was speaking about it on YouTube and speaking about the different, they call it psyops, when they confuse people and all this kind of stuff. And they were saying about, and he was a Christian guy who actually had some good knowledge on there about it. And I don't ever put comments on things, but I could have put a comment. I said, it's true what you're saying. Because he was showing that this is Antichrist, what's taking place. And I said, the problem is that Christians, these don't read their Bibles. They don't read Revelation 17. Go and study Revelation 17. They don't go and see what all of the fathers before us said and what people believe. But something muddied the waters in the last 30, 40 years. In 50 years. Something changed. And all of a sudden, they're all big buddies and high-fiving each other. Whereas before that, it wasn't like that. And that quote of Sun Tzu, all war is based on deception. The greatest deception you can be under is to think your enemy is your friend. The greatest deception is you don't even believe there's a devil. I mean, the devil's completely overcome you if you don't even believe that he's real. If you don't believe in your real enemy, you've got to know your enemy. You've got to know your weapons. You've got to know your God. Those are the things like we saw the other week. We've got to know who the enemy is. How can you prepare yourself for war if there's not a certain sound? But the Christian world, there's no certain sound anymore. There's just pockets here of independent believers. If you're not in the message, there's some out there. And they're still standing true. And the prophet says at the end, he says, they're going to come and close you down. He says, they're going to put a sign on the door saying, close. He says, us and the independents. Because other people, they don't come to the message, but they don't stay in the denominations. Because they know, this is not right what's being done. And they form their own independent little groups. They're going to be in the same situation as us in the end. They start putting the attention that if you don't come and join the big machine, if you don't come into the system, you can't worship. And the prophet says, we'll have to worship in other places. We'll have to worship in secret. He says, they'll think that they put us out of business, but they won't know. That's when you really put a believer in business, when you start doing those kind of things to a believer. So that's what it is. We can see this last beast, Rome. We can see all of these manifestations, all of these things come out from this fourth beast. And this fourth beast, we're going to meet him now in Revelation 12. Because we now have, with this Catholic Pope, the uniting of the two beasts of Revelation 13. We have America and we have Rome for the first time. The Pope coming out of America. It's a very significant sign to show just how far things have gone. And you think those politicians dressed as cardinals there in the Vatican last week, the 130 whatever they are, they didn't know what they were doing when they put an American pope. You think they didn't know what they were doing? You think that was a mistake? Do you think there's no plan behind this and there's no agenda? They know exactly what they're doing. And what's the worrying thing is that Francis was the first Jesuit pope. And if anybody wants to know, the KGB is nothing compared to the Jesuits. Yeah, no secret service in the world, no system in all history has been as subversive and as dangerous as the Jesuits. The Jesuits infiltrate everything. Most churches are infiltrated by Jesuits, denominations. They go to the Bible schools, they send their Jesuit. You go and read the secret history of the Jesuits. That's their tactic. They come in like they're your buddy. They come to be together with you. They go to your Bible school. They become a minister in the church, and they Jesuit, and they take you back to Rome. And that's how we see Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen and all these guys going back to Rome. You say that's the influence of the Jesuits. They're very, very subtle and cunning. America banned the Jesuits. You know, most countries that fled persecution of Rome banned the Jesuits in their countries. They're very powerful secret force. The Mossad is very good in Israel, but they got nothing on the Jesuits. The Jesuits are very cunning. And Pope Francis was the first Jesuit pope. And those cardinals, 133 of them that elected the pope last week, 80 of them were put there by Francis himself. 80 out of 133. So, yeah. And this guy, he was a big right-hand man of Pope Francis. That's how they say he's Pope Francis 2.0. Yeah, but you don't really worry so much about the man because it's just the mechanics. But one of these days, the dynamics is going to come down. And then you're going to see a manifestation of what this really, really represents. When will this be? Okay, so, sirs, is this the time? We know where things have to get to. We know that Rome has to take over. We see it's gone so far already. We see the church is going back to Rome. We see they're uniting themselves together. We see Islam's agreed the Pope can be the leader of the Christian world, the Imam. Yeah, he said, you people can stay in your religion as long as you all assent to the supremacy of the Pope as the religious leader of the world. And they all said, yes, the Hindus did and all that, the shamans and all those guys. They all bowed down. So we see we've gone very, very far, but when will this be? Okay, so let's look in Revelation chapter 12. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now, Scripture's got multiple fulfillments, parallel fulfillments. There was war in heaven in the beginning, but this is now speaking of now. This is not speaking of what happened before the foundation of the world. We're speaking of it in that context. This is in the book of Revelation. This is when Jesus was born, and it's in Revelation 12, and then it moves on a bit further. And then it tells us right at the end, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, that's a serious thing to think about. Yeah, and it comes to tell us, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them, because Christ is going to be coming soon. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you. So this is not before the foundation of the world. That's now. Satan's come down. Him and his angels have been cast out. There's a very big significance. Why were they cast out? Woe, for the devil is come down unto you. We're speaking about the dynamics now. This is when the dynamics falls now, upon the mechanics. When Satan is cast out and down he goes, having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, 3.5 years. And what does he do? And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. He goes straight to Israel. Now, obviously, the Vatican doesn't have an army, but there's 10 kingdoms that give their power to the beast for a season. I don't know. To me, when I look at the EU, I say it's going to be a lot of those guys are going to be joining because that's one of the most antichrist organizations there's ever been. Yay! You know, but there's 10 kingdoms that give their power to the beast, it says, for a season. And now they come against Israel. They come against because God is visiting Israel. Now there's the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, 144,000, the elect have come in Israel. The dragon is wrath. He knows he doesn't have much time. He straight away starts persecution. As soon as he has the authority, as soon as he has the power, as soon as it's in his jurisdiction, the first thing he does is he persecutes the genuine believer. And it's never changed. From the beginning to the end, it'll never change. So he comes against Israel. What about Israel? There's the two prophets there. And to the woman Israel were given two wings of a great eagle. Eagle's always a prophet, the two wings of an eagle. That's Moses and Elijah. Now they've got the prophetic. God is protecting them. He's got the, these prophets can smite the heavens, can call plagues down, smite the waters and they turn into blood. You go and read what it says. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time.
Yes.
3.5 years. Amen. That's the tribulation period. So God is dealing with Israel. So now the beast, he comes now. Satan is incarnate now in the Pope. He's now, we'll see it just now, he moves into his position. The dynamics activates. The big machine moves into action. And straight away they come against Israel. Hey. And the dragon. Okay, so he can't go to Israel. God defends Israel because it's the time. The appointed time for Israel. There's still the last half week of Daniel's 70 weeks. There's still 3.5 years allotted to Israel. When Jesus died, there was still left 3.5 years for Israel for the end time. And as soon as the times of the Gentiles are finished, it kicks him back to Israel. And God is focusing on Israel again. And Satan straight away comes as soon as he can. And those two prophets are there. And you see that the earth opens up and swallows the armies of the enemy. So where does he go then? Verse 17. The dragon was wrath with him. He's angry. He can't get Israel. So he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is those that are left behind. This is the foolish virgin. That's who he comes. And the sad thing is there's no defense because it's not their time. Now is the time of the Gentiles. But there's going to be people that are saved, but they're not sealed. There's going to be virgins who don't have oil in their lamp. And when the bridegroom comes and the rapture goes, people are left behind. And when the beast activates his great big machine and the persecution begins, and he finds he can't do anything to Israel, straight away the persecution comes now to the foolish virgin, to those who don't bow down to the system. Now we're back to the book of Daniel once again. The image to the beast. You have to bow down to the golden image. When you hear the sound of the rock and roll music in the church, you know, the suck bolt and the harp and the whatever, you bow your knees down. It's going to need a lot of grace for a person then not to take on the mark of the beast. You'll have to die for your faith.
Yeah.
You'll have to be martyred. You'll have to stand like they did in the dark ages. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be just going with your justification and sanctification, not having much power inside of your life. And you're going to have to overcome when Jesus says a time of trouble such as never has been on the earth since man was upon the earth. You can imagine everything else was just a foreshadow of what's to come because Satan will have full authority for the first time over the earth. Okay, so let's quickly look at Antichrist. False prophet and beast. So when the church age started, the earlier church warned of the Antichrist spirit. So at first, Satan could just come in as a spirit. And that was the false doctrine and telling people the Lord's already come, we're already in the millennium and all those kind of things. You know? Yeah, the spirits never die. So you find the Antichrist spirit came in through the false teachers. And Paul warned against grievous wolves will come in among you and all these kind of things. False teachers and false Christ and all those kind of things. So the Antichrist spirit came in first as a spirit. But when it got now down to Nicaea, that spirit now was crowned. It says in the church ages, and a crown was given to him. Now you can't crown a spirit. So that spirit now became incarnate. The Antichrist spirit found a vessel, which was when Rome took power. When now Imperial Rome, pagan Rome, perished. And then papal Rome took over. And now a man rose up claiming to be the vicar of Christ, claiming that he was infallible, claiming all of these, that he could forgive sins, that everybody must bow down to him, and they, the mother church, and all that. The Antichrist spirit was now crowned. And that's when he changed from being just the Antichrist spirit. Now we find the Bible starts speaking of the false prophet. That's what he is today. He's a false prophet. Because his prophecy, his message is false. Yeah, to worship Mary, and you have to go to confession, and you know, people go to purgatory, and all of these things. That's a false prophet. But just what you're reading of now, when Satan is cast out, he comes and incarnates himself in the false prophet, and the false prophet becomes the beast. So that's when the beast comes on the scene. He'll no longer be just the false prophet, he'll now be the beast. Let's read it from the seals book, fourth seal. Now we find out here that Satan, after being kicked out of heaven, we've just read it in Revelation 12, incarnates himself in the beast. And now he's a beast, Antichrist, false prophet, and now the beast when he's incarnate. And given the name of death, now with a pale horse. And hell follows him. Fully Satan on his throne. Hey, I don't want to be here at that time. It's bad enough as it is. When he doesn't have full jurisdiction, you do want to be here. Oh my, on the earth, he is Satan, representative on the earth. That he now is head of the kingdoms of the world. So the beast takes over the kingdoms of the world. The very same kingdoms he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. But the world will never bow down. He came and said, I'll worship me, I'll give you power. You'll have all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you worship. Satan now becomes a full king. Hey, Satan's never been a full king on the earth. He was king in Nimrod. It wasn't full dominion. He was king in Nebuchadnezzar and those ones down through the ages, some of them. But he has never had full dominion. But now woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down. And now grace lifts off the Gentiles. The ark door closes. And that's where it ends up. This is his final ride when he comes on his pale horse. The prophet says now, this happens later on. He's a false prophet now. He will become beast after a while. When he breaks his covenant with the Jews, the Roman prince that comes at the end of Daniel chapter 9 breaks his covenant with Israel. He'll be given a heart of a beast at that time, and Satan will incarnate himself. Yay! Because when the church goes up, Satan is cast out. So that is the defining moment, is the rapture. Yeah. When the church goes up, why is that? Why would Satan come down when the church goes up? He explains. I didn't put the quote there. But in heaven now, it's like in court. He goes to explain. He says, when Jesus finishes his intercession, when the last name that's on the book comes in, Jesus gets off from being the high priest, gets off, and he takes the book. What is the book? The prophet says, you are the book. It's the redeemed. It's those names that he's been interceding. He now casts Satan out. Because Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He's able to go. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's the defense. Satan is the prosecution. So it can be there. Look what your son did today. How can you call him your child when he did this, that, and the other? And on the other side now, there's Father, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Father, I already paid with my blood for what they've done. You see, so at the moment now, Satan's still the accuser of the brethren. Like in the book of Job, he could go up there and he could say, the only reason this man worships you is because you put a hedge of protection around him. You know, that's how Satan operates. But once the last of the redeemed, the last of the elect, comes into the body of Christ, that closes everything. Now the book is closed. He takes the book, and now Jesus is no more the high priest. Now he comes as Leo the lion. He's the real Leo. Now he comes as the judge. Now he comes to take his bride, and now the judgment starts to fall upon the earth. But as he rises up now from intercession, he casts out the accuser, and Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven and come down to earth. So when the church goes up, Satan goes down. When Christ comes and we meet him in the air, Satan comes down. And then we find the pale horse rider now. For the first time, Satan has full authority. Then he starts to ride. Watch. He rides a pale horse as he appears on his ride, this last ride. He's on the last one now. Now, that is not in our day. It's not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. Because see, the church has gone up when this happens. That's why the revelation of the seals. You know, that's where the big confusion came in. When Brabham speaks about the Lamb taking the book, people thought that he actually took the book and there was no more redemption. People thought at that time. But it was a revelation. The prophet saying the seal, when it's broken now, the seal is broken by revelation. But one of these days, the seal is going to be broken in reality on earth. So when that seal was broken and a pale horse rider goes out, that seal was broken to the prophet by revelation, the revelation of the seven seals. But that hasn't yet fully been broken on the earth because the pale horse rider hasn't yet gone. That's on down the way. You know? And once those names have all been redeemed, everyone's under the blood, he now takes that book. And you are in the book. And everybody is in the book. He takes the book of redemption with him, everyone that's been redeemed. And then Satan comes down. What is God's response at that time? What is the last thing? It's tightening. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, the bride doesn't go through a big persecution. There's just a squeeze. Because the prophet says, a man, if he loves his bride, he's going to keep her from anything that he possibly can. And he says, that's why there'll only be a squeeze. And then he'll take her away, and then the persecution comes down. Satan comes down. So what is holding back all of these things from being fulfilled? It's that the last member of the body of Christ is not yet in. It's not Satan who sets the agenda. It's not Satan who's the one who has the master timetable. It's the Lord. It's Christ. He has to stay there. And Paul says it in Thessalonians. He says, he that will withhold will withhold. Yeah? He says, the Holy Ghost now is holding these things back, like in Revelation 7, holding back those winds until the last of the elect is sealed. So all of these things are being held back. Satan wants to push his things. He wants to move things on. But it's not according to his timetable. What determines the timetable is the bride. When the bride is there and the bride is ready, she goes. And then this world falls apart. But the prophet says, Jesus comes in a time of great trouble. It's going to be a squeeze. And we already see it since. Look from the days of COVID and look at the economy, the great recession. And look at the strange things taking place, the insanity taking place around the world. This isn't an easy place already. And it's not going to get easier as we go down the way. But when that time comes and the press comes to a place where you are pressed out. Watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then. Because when Satan's going to come and be incarnate in his man, Christ comes and incarnates himself in his bride. And that's what the third pull is. It's the fullness of Christ in his people. It's the spoken word. There's nothing that can go beyond that. So there's God's response. God is not worried about what's coming upon the earth. Yeah, he knows how to prepare his people. He'll have everybody, the right people in the right place at the right time. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them by faith. And you're so glad you can say that you're one of them. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing that song. Just a thought. Is this the last pope? Probably. Who knows? But that doesn't determine our spirituality. That doesn't determine our agenda. That doesn't determine who we are, what we do. Only thing we need to remember, we must work while it is yet day. Because night is coming when no man can work. So let's bow our heads. Father, as we thank you for your grace, first of all, we thank you for your mercy. how we want to just hide ourselves away in you, Lord. We just want to always hide in the blood. You are our refuge, Lord. Father, you are refuge in the time of trouble, Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. And Father, the righteous flee in and are safe. And Father, that's all that we desire. We just want to do your will. We just want to finish the work that you sent us to do. So quicken us, Lord, we'd pray. Father, we need, Lord, the dynamics on a regular basis. Lord, we need fresh quickening. We need fresh visitation, Lord, because of the conditions of this day. So help your people. Touch your people once again, Lord, we'd pray upon this day. And Father, Lord, continue to guide us and lead us, we pray. We thank you for a more sure word of prophecy. We thank you that the message is becoming so much more real and real as we get nearer and nearer to the end. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this night, Lord. Now bless your people that are here. Bless your people online. Be with us in the remainder of this meeting, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, saints, Brother James.
Amen. Let's sing hymn number 7 in the Songs of Worship. I'm thinking of the rapture. When the redeemed are gathering in, it's a G. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed nights. No, too low. Let's go a little bit. Let's go G. Give me a D. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh yeah, I will raise the heavenly anthem in the city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh yes, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh yes, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed, oh, are gathering in. Oh yes, oh, what music, oh, singing of our holy roll, when the redeemed of the Lord are gathering in. Oh yes, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from, oh, free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh yes, saints will sing redemption story. Hallelujah, when the redeemed, oh, are gathering in. Oh yes, and the angels, oh, will listen, for they cannot join the song. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and free from, oh, free from sin. I will shout, I will shout, and I will sing when Maribi, a gathering ye. Oh, yes, then the Savior will give orders to prepare a banquet. Oh, when Naridi, hallelujah, gathering ye. Oh, yes, and we'll hear his invitation. Come ye blessed of the Lord. When Naridi, gathering. Oh, yes, when Naridi, gathering. Oh, wash like snow and free from sin. Oh, sin, how we'll shout, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. When Naridi, gathering. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing as we journey through the land, singing as we go, pointing souls to Calvary. It's number 8. It's A flat. As we journey through the land, singing as we go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through my mouth. Hallelujah! Oh, I want to see my Lord look upon his face. Oh, yes, there to sing forever. Oh, face-saving grace. Oh, yes, on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, yes, cares all pass. Oh, may last ever to rejoice. Oh, yes, when in service for my Lord, dark may be the night. Oh, yes, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me life. Oh, Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads what he. Hallelujah, oh, I want to see. Oh, yeah, look upon his. Hallelujah, there to sing for it. Oh, face-saving. Oh, Lord, on the streets of glory, let me live my. Oh, yes, cares will pass. Oh, may last ever to rejoice. Oh, yes, when in valleys low I, oh, yeah, toward the mountain high, oh, yeah, and behold my Savior there, leading in the, oh, yeah, with a tender and outstretched toward the valley, hallelujah, guiding me. I can see thy word. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, oh, look upon it. Oh, yes, there to sit for it. Oh, hope is safe. Oh, yes, on the streets of glory, let me lift my. Hallelujah, kids will pass. Oh, may last ever to rejoice. Oh, yes, when before me billows. Oh, towards the mighty deep. Oh, yes, then my Lord directs my back. Yet, oh, safely. Oh, yeah, and he leads me gently. Oh, through this world. Hallelujah, he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, oh, yeah, look upon his. Hallelujah, there to sing forever. Oh, face him. Oh, Lord, on the streets of glory, let me lift my hallelujah, cares of past, oh, may last it, but to rejoice.
Amen. God bless you all.